Our reading is from Paul's second letter, first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2. And you can find it on page 163 of the New Testament section of the Bible. Corinth was a major cosmopolitan city and seaport, and an important trade centre. However, the people, including the church members, were an unruly, hard-drinking, immoral bunch of people. And if we look back in Acts, it tells us that when Paul was in Corinth, he encouraged the people to live according to God's way rather than the world's way. But after he left, it was without his encouragement, it was easy to drift back into their old ways. And so now he's writing to the church in Corinth to encourage them. So chapter 2 of the first book of Corinthians. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery I've got to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also, no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the power of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things in those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are discerned spiritually. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
So shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you that you are a God who doesn't hide, a God who truly wants to reveal himself to us. And we thank you for Jesus, we thank you for the cross, and we thank you for your Spirit who lives in us. Amen. So good morning again. Does my voice sound funny? It sounds a bit strange to me. Is it just my ears? It's just my ears. Great. If I was to say something like, I have the mind of Christ, I think a lot of people would say, who does she think she is? Well, I could tell you, I am a child of God. I am a new creation. I'm part of the true vine. I'm a friend of Jesus, a slave to righteousness. I am reconciled to God and a minister of reconciliation, a joint heir with Christ, sharing his inheritance. I could go on, couldn't I? And I don't boast any of those things in my own merit. I say them because Scripture tells me that they are truths. That because I am alive in Christ, reborn because of what his death and resurrection have achieved for me, every one of these truths is true for me. And sometimes I even live as if they were true. Sometimes I actually lay claim to these great promises, my inheritance. And that's the time when I'm living up to who I truly am, to who God would have me be, he who knows my full potential. So we're looking in this short series, we're looking at how God guides us, and we've come to the second one, and we're talking about the compelling spirit. And of course, every one of these themes are going to overlap with each other, aren't they? Because none of them actually stand entirely alone. What cheered me very much last week in Mike's sermon, listen to it online if you haven't. It was a great sermon. But what cheered me particularly was him saying that God's will and purpose for our life is much more about transformation than destination. So not somewhere so much that we're going as to how we're being. And God is leading us and steering us, but it's more of a journey of change as opposed to a change of journey. It's about being shaped because we've been knocked out of shape. It's about being smoothed because we've got ourselves in a tangled mess. And so it's actually much broader than being guided. It's about how we come to think as a Christian, to have, indeed, the mind of Christ. So let's look at this passage, the second chapter of Corinthians. And I want to start by saying that God has given us access to all the spiritual wisdom we need because the Holy Spirit lives in us. He lives in us. He's residing in us. Jesus said he would come. He did. He's here. Everyone that's given their lives to Jesus has the Holy Spirit living in us. And I just love the way that Paul explodes the whole differences between worldly wisdom, what the world values as wisdom, and spiritual wisdom. He compares fashionable wisdom, it says in the Message version, fashionable wisdom of high-priced experts that will be out of date in a year or so, to that which God has revealed to us. That's the wonder of Jesus, life, death, and resurrection, and the difference that makes to us and who we are. And none of that will make sense to those who don't know God. And he quotes from the Old Testament, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived. The things God has prepared for those who love him. For those who love him, hang on to that bit. Well, that's us, so we better start listening. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. He's revealed them to us because we love him. Well, we should really be getting excited about that because basically he's talking about the extraordinary benefits of being a child of God, of being a Christian. And it's quite difficult to get your head around because it's so amazing. So I looked at the Message version and read that, and I think it gets right to the nub of it. I can't say it better in my own words, so I will say this. The Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except you yourself? The same with God, except that he not only knows what he thinks in, but he lets us in on it. God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that he's given us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus. And we're passing it on to you in the same first-hand personal way. He lets us in on it. God lets us in on it. How wonderful that we don't need high intellect to get this sort of wisdom. Good job for me. You don't need A grades, A star grades. You don't need PhD. You just need the Spirit of God. We're spiritually connected, bound to God through his Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us and inspires us, teaches us to what to say, usually using words of scripture, quite often using words of scripture. Sometimes you can't even remember them exactly, but the Spirit will prompt you to say what they are. Say to others about Jesus and about living like Jesus. And he illuminates. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't understand the spiritual truths that are in there. As it says in verse 15, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. When God is with us by his Spirit, we can actually understand the mind of the Lord. So we can indeed say, I have the mind of Christ. Albeit that we will never understand the full depths of God in this life. For as Paul says in another letter, we see through a glass darkly. But with the Holy Spirit within us, living within us, we actually have access to everything we need to be good spiritual discerners. However, what we don't do is tap into this most excellent resource. We don't live like children of God. We don't switch it on. I'm reminded very much of being at Pilates when the instructor will say, switch your gluteus muscle on, or switch this particular muscle on. They've been there all the time, but they've not been switched on. You switch them on and suddenly your body starts working in the way that it ought. I'm also reminded of Google Maps. What a revelation that was to me when I found out that that was on my iPhone already. I've had it years before my daughter pointed out, Mum, you've got it, and what it could do. I could actually see where the nearest petrol station was, where the restaurants were, and it could take me there. I could fall down a grid while I was going because I was looking at the phone so hard, but it was. I needed to switch it on. I needed to use it. And there are folk, of course, who are scared of that technology, just as those who are afraid of the Holy Spirit. And some people feel it feels a bit spooky. We're talking about spirits. It's supernatural. Well, of course it is supernatural. It's of God. He is God. But spooky or frightening, it must not be. It isn't. Definitely not. We're talking about a person here. We're talking about a person who Jesus sent to us. As if Jesus would send a person to frighten us and spook us. Jesus adores us. Our Father adores us. He would only send somebody to encourage, to comfort, to show us his love. He won't do us any harm. Might get on our nerves because he might tell us to do something that is a bit uncomfortable, but he won't frighten us or condemn us. He's with us to be our companion and our guide. And it's important that we grasp that. This is someone who's a good friend. And like any good friend, we need to treat them well and respect them well and cultivate a relationship with them. We need to spend time talking to this good friend and listening, reading and praying. Oh, you knew it would come down to that at some point, didn't you? Reading and praying. So easy to go off track. I remember Mike saying last week a Eugene Peterson quote about we make our God into what we want him to be. We fashion him if we don't go back to the word all the time, because that's where he reveals himself to us. So, of course, reading the Bible and it is absolutely important, poring over it and talking to God as we do it. But as we've seen, this wisdom is different. It's not about knowing more about what's in the Bible and finding out where it was written or those, you know, and who it was written to. Those things are important. They're interesting to know. But it's much more about applying more of what we already know. Understanding Bible knowledge by itself does not equate to spiritual maturity. Look at the people with theology degrees who aren't Christians. No one knew scripture better than the Pharisees. They could quote it, but they constantly disappointed Jesus with their attitudes and behavior and how they applied or didn't apply that word. But Jesus taught his disciples through scriptures, but he had them doing stuff. He had them thinking about those scriptures. He had them regularly doing ministry. He got them thinking about kingdom values and about how they should influence how they live, the choices that they made. And isn't that partly what we do in life groups? We explore how we can apply that word in our daily lives, in our families, in our workplace. When we're out shopping, the Spirit is with us when we're shopping. It's about sharing ways of acting that are spiritually wise and where we see God coming through for us. How do we do life as followers of Jesus? And that's when we see the Spirit at work and faith really coming to life. And we can ask each other, can't we? Are you sure that's really the Spirit speaking? Or is it what you would really like God to be saying to you? How is my decision making, what I buy, what I wear, what I do with my time, how is that influenced by my Christian thinking, by Jesus living in me and thus by spiritual wisdom? Does it reflect kingdom values? God has given us work to do to build each other up and share our faith and share the wisdom that he shared with us. Are we living that out? We are citizens of heaven, meant to be shining light into darkness. Are we doing that? Are we listening to the Spirit about how we do that? Or are we content to stay in the shadows? How do we actually hear the Spirit speaking? What does that sound like? What does it feel like? Well, we know the Holy Spirit speaks in dreams, in pictures, and in prophecies, and there are numerous illustrations. It would be good in life groups to share some of those with each other. But more often, because he lives in us, he speaks from deep within ourselves. But it's actually more than an emotion. It's kind of like, a gut feeling sometimes, an impression, or something like a prompting with an urgency to it. It might be like this. You could be listening to a sermon, maybe it was Mike's last week, and you feel a sensation in your stomach. Or it could be a fluttering like 100 butterflies, and it just won't go away. Take note, because that could be the Spirit speaking to you. He could be saying, take careful note of what he's saying here. This is for you, especially. Or convicting you something that you need to stop doing or start doing. But one thing is for sure, the Holy Spirit will never urge us to do or say anything that contradicts the word that has already been revealed in God's word. When the Spirit speaks, he speaks in alignment with all that has already been revealed. It could be a prompting at a time when you're making a decision or a choice about a job, or even about maybe what to eat. And you sense something in your gut holding you back or pushing you forward. I think most of you will have heard me speak about how I was convicted at the end of last year to live more simply. You know, having been a clothes freak most of my life and a collector of fashion, I remember standing by my wardrobe, looking at the clothes there and hearing a voice that seemed to come up from my gut saying, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Look at what you've got. How are you making decisions about what you buy and what you wear? Why should you have clothes that have been produced so quickly that somebody has suffered to make? And I thought, whoops, this has really got to change how I live. Because it goes back to reflecting kingdom values as part of my identity in Christ. How can I say I'm a child of Christ? The Spirit was saying, how can you say you're a child of Christ? And then say, child of God, and then say you're wearing a dress that was made in a few minutes by somebody who's not paid hardly anything at all that has a, and you get the picture. There are times, of course, when a word might be more specific. You could be reading your Bible and suddenly see the face of somebody that you know come into mind and you sense a deep need to pray for them. You maybe even sense a need to pick the phone up or go round and see them. 17 years ago, I was reading the book of Lamentations. Now, it's not a very jolly book, let me tell you that. It's not a very jolly book at all. And I haven't really been enjoying reading it, but I came to this bit. And it says, it's in chapter 3. I well remember my affliction and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Well, you'll recognise that there's a hymn that comes from that. But I couldn't get past it. I just couldn't get past these words. And I had the face, my cheeks were hot, and my friend Andrea's face was in my mind very clearly. And I knew that she was trying to have a baby and had you know, was really disappointed she couldn't get pregnant. And I said to the Lord, oh, is this something that I should share with her? Will it be helpful? It didn't feel like it would be. All I can say is that urge just would not go away. And I wrote them down on a little note. And when I saw her on the following Sunday, I gave them to her. And she promptly burst into tears. So I felt awful. But she, when she could speak, she said she'd been pregnant. And she'd been trying for a baby for a long time. And she hadn't told anyone. She was about 8 weeks gone. And she'd miscarried just a few days before I gave her this note. Well, that made me feel even worse. And she went, no, don't feel bad, Bev. I'm not consumed. This gives me hope. You see, if I'd thought about it so logically, I would never have done any of that. And it didn't seem the right verse to give her. But she got so much hope from that and so much joy. And, you know, not so long after that, she got pregnant. And this summer, I saw her at New Wine. And he's a handsome 16-year-old son at the side of her. And she reminded me of those words and others that had been shared with her that strengthened and sustained her. And now she has Joe. God has good things for every one of us to do. Good works. We're not saved by good works. We are saved by grace. But we are saved for good works. God has a purpose for your life. Good things for you uniquely to do. The Spirit living in us guides us to do those good things. If only we would let him. And that means submitting to him. Bringing ourselves under his rule. Letting him into our lives so that it becomes more natural to think spiritually all the time. To put that wisdom, that spiritual wisdom, into practice. My career was mostly in the field of children's disabilities. I was a nurse, a lecturer practitioner, a manager. And in the last 10 years, I was a national advisor to councils and health authorities. And trying to get them to spend the money that had been allocated them to increase and improve short-term breaks for families of kids with very severe disabilities. One of my colleagues, Mary, was a great Christian woman, and we used to have dinner together as often as we could. And we were having dinner together one time, and we were talking about God stuff. And I said to her, you know, I used to think I'd end up in full-time ministry, you know, Mary. I felt sure God was leading me there. I felt that's where God was prompting me. And she put down a fork, looked me in the eye and said, Bev Playle, you're leading a team of specialists who are seeking to put right the most terrible injustice for some of the most disadvantaged and marginalised families in our society. And if that's not God's work, then I don't know what is. You are in full-time ministry. Are you having a pudding? Do you know, it sometimes takes a friend to point out where the Spirit has been at work in your life and what the Spirit has been saying to you. I've been praying and opening myself up to God leading me to do things for him. I was actually doing things for him already. I was where the Spirit wanted me to be. And the penny dropped. I've been listening to the voice of Jesus because he lived in me. He led me to where I was to do good things unique to me. It was all part of his plan for my life. I was a citizen of heaven. I was shining light into dark places. Sometimes it takes someone else to see that for us, to discern when God is speaking. And that's why we need each other. That's why God put us in community together. Why we have life groups. Why we come to church. Because we do life together in the Spirit and support each other to recognize his voice. Has it never been the case that somebody has said to you, your husband's speaking, your daughter's speaking, you didn't hear them yourself, you just need prompted to remember? That's sometimes what happens. To be a Christian is to be led by the Spirit. We are children of God. When we accept Jesus, he comes to live in our hearts, and we'll hear the voice of Jesus through his Spirit within us. He longs to guide us, to have us live up to our identity in him, to be Christ-like in our thinking, to be able to hear his voice. We need to learn to recognize it And for that, we need to spend time with him, reading his word, praying, and giving the Spirit time and space to speak to us, and be in close relationship with him and also with other Christians.